And welcome back, and good morning to Community Living Radio. We're broadcasting here live from CFRO 100.5 FM, or you could be listening to us on one of our pre-recorded versions on CITR 101.9 FM, or in Nanaimo's, which would be CHLY, or on our podcast version via iHeartRadio or Spreaker. With community, if you do search for Community Living Radio. And today we're here with the executive director. I hope I had that right. Executive director for pedalpower.org, and they have a really cool mission. Pedal Society promotes the use of bicycles as a healthy, affordable, environmentally sound form of transportation, and they offer education around that, including like mechanical skills and things like that. I remember when I used to ride my bike to university way back when. There's a lot of maintenance that went into actually making sure your bicycle stayed safe and on the road. Yeah. So Sophia, right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay. So tell us a little bit more about Pedal Power or the Pedal Society.
It's Pedal Society, yeah. And then okay. Our website is pedalpower.org. Yeah.
Okay. Oops, sorry.
No, no problem. So Pedal is actually, it's our 25th anniversary this year. And so we've been operating our main program, or what people most know us for, is our community bikes on Main and Broadway. So that's the social enterprise of our organization, and it's a not-for-profit bike shop. We take donations, and then we either sell them as parts, or we refurbish bicycles and sell those. And then we also have the educational do-it-yourself stands. So one of the services that we offer from the shop that makes us different from a lot of other shops is that you can come in and you can rent a stand with tools, and we have mechanical instructors on hand to help guide you through your repairs.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, I'm going to tell you a really sad story about a bike. Of course, I had to do maintenance, and of course, maintenance also includes like repairing the cables on your brakes and things like that, right?
Yeah.
And we're also talking, this is a bicycle from early 90s.
So yeah. It was about as old as our organization.
I did all this work. It took me hours to take the old cables out, put the new cables on, put everything back together again, right? And I missed a step and slam. I rear-ended a car.
Oh no, your brakes didn't work?
The brakes didn't work.
You didn't test it?
Well, that was the test run.
Oh wow.
It kind of worked when I flipped the bike over, it kind of worked and everything, right? Uh-huh. So I went for the road test, and there was something else that I forgot and tightened down.
Yeah,
well enough.
It happened.
So when it had my body weight on it, it was like
So, if you had been doing it at our shop, we would have had our mechanics check it over. So, that can alleviate some of those opportunities when you're doing it yourself at home.
Right. Yeah. So, that's a really great service right there. So where exactly is your shop?
Our shop, our community bikes, is located on the corner of Main and Broadway, and that's 2429 Main Street.
Oh, so that's pretty convenient for a lot of people here in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. It's right on the bike route, and it's also, there's a lot of buses in the area. It's very central, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That is actually pretty cool. So how did you get started down this path?
So my background is in nonprofit management. So I've only been with Pedal for the last year. And prior to that, I was living in Abbotsford. So I was the executive director of the Abbotsford Arts Council for 2 years. And then prior to that, I founded a nonprofit called Attengard Community Project that provides affordable housing for students and young professionals. So I did that since 2009, and then was running a festival called Jam and Jubilee, and then, yeah, I was kind of building my skills, and then now I've transitioned to the city to work for our community bikes. And in that time previous, cycling was just, it was my daily commute, and it was also what I like to do for recreation. So I've done a lot of bike tours, and that really instilled a passion for cycling. Yeah, so it just seemed like a really great fit.
Yeah. So you do tour mostly touring stuff, or do you ever do any mountain bike or anything?
I never have gotten into mountain biking. Mm-hmm. I think that I would probably like it because I really enjoy the trails.
Mm-hmm.
But I have not branched out that way yet.
Oh, okay. So you Pedal Society is a nonprofit, right?
It is, yes.
Yeah, which probably also helps. So part of your purpose would not only is also would be to help people who have trouble affording like the bike parts or whatever, or you might be able to help them find funding for bikes so they can actually get to work and things like that?
Totally, yeah. Accessibility is a big part of our mandate. Mm-hmm. So we are a nonprofit. We're the Pedal Society, but we also have a charitable arm. We have the Pedal Foundation. So actually through that, when we receive donations, we can actually get tax-deductible receipts, which is a pretty great opportunity. For people that want to donate but still want to be able to claim it on their taxes at the end of the year. But so one of our more charitable programs that we run is called Pedals for the People. Mm-hmm. And that is our free bike program. So through that, we refurbish bikes. And one of the streams that we refurbish them is through we do a free 12-week mechanical training course for volunteers that want to learn to work on bikes. And when they're learning to work on bikes, they're doing it on these bicycles that they are refurbishing for the program. And then when they're ready to go, we distribute them to people who face financial barriers to accessing bicycles. So we give them away for free. So right now we give away around 100 bikes a year, but we actually have a wait list that's about a year long.
Wow.
Yeah, so there's a lot of demand for that program for sure.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's a lot of demand. Wow, I hadn't really thought about that. Okay, this may seem a bit of an off the wall kind of a question, but considering that some of our listeners are in wheelchairs and things like that, so do you have bicycles to help them?
We haven't actually done a lot of work regarding wheelchairs. We haven't gone into any adaptations of bicycles that would work for people in wheelchairs. But if someone were to have one of those, we would definitely be able to work with the bicycle, make sure that it was maintained.
Oh. So that's pretty cool. So you don't actually, mm-hmm. you may not have the that particular type, but you're able to help them maintain it.
For sure.
And
yeah.
It's just as an important.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's people out there that that would need to. You know, they may have had something happen to them or the idea of, hey, I want to keep be able to get around independently. So,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So yeah, so that's pretty cool stuff too. So what are some? So we went through the. I'm also looking at your website here, and of course there's just some other things that you have here. What is the mm-hmm. Access Nights? What is that about?
So Access Nights are nights that we open the shop up for people, for specific groups of people. So one of the Access Nights is members and volunteer nights. So if you have been a volunteer or if you are a member, you can come and work on the shop, work in the shop. And we don't charge for shop time, and it's just a lot quieter. It's a lot quieter during that time, so people have more dedicated use of the space. And then we also have WTQ night, so that's for people that identify as women, trans, or queer. And so this is just to create a safe space, because sometimes shops can be intimidating for people that identify as women, trans, or queer. So it's making sure that it's accessible to them and they can have a time where it's just others that identify as the same in the space.
Oh, okay. So we're going to introduce at this time our brand new co-host, who's not a stranger to our station, Allison Klein. And you have some questions for Sophia, right?
I have one question for Sophia.
Hi, Allison.
Hi. Mm-hmm. Now, do you mostly work on bikes for adults, or do you work on bikes for kids as well?
So are you talking about using the stand or getting service?
Getting service or having bikes for younger people.
Okay. So we do, if you are coming into the stands to work on it yourself or bringing bikes in for service, we will work on kids' bikes. But in general, we do not, that's not part of what we refurbish and sell. So you won't be able to purchase any kids' bikes from us. But you can bring it in. If you have one already, you can bring it in for service.
Yeah. It looks like on your website, you have what's bike camps and things like that for the youth.
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we have our community bike club. And out of that, we have a number of different streams that we do programming for youth. So our year-round weekly program is a drop-in night that we run out of Kickstand. So that is free shop time for youth, and they can come in and they can bring their bikes in and work on them. We also will have a short little workshop on most nights, so you can learn something specific, like maybe how to adjust your brakes or use your derailleur, change your derailleur cables, that sort of thing. And then, because a lot of kids that will come regularly, their bikes may not need maintenance anymore, but they still like learning about bikes and working on them, so a lot of those regulars will end up in more of a volunteer capacity. So they will be working on refurbishing some of the bikes that are in kickstand, or stripping them, or testing tubes, that sort of thing.
Wow, so that's actually pretty cool too. So you're teaching them all the way through to so that they would actually start to volunteer within your organization. Yeah.
So that's our regular weekly program. And then in the summer we had three different camps. We had they were all ran out of Britannia as well. So we had two regular camps, and then one we had specifically for deaf youth. So we did that as a partnership with Deaf Youth Today, and we had some of our facilitators speak American Sign Language, and so we were able to do a camp with that group of youth, which was pretty cool.
Wow, that is pretty cool. So I know you only have 20 minutes with this, and we've used up 16 of those 20 minutes already. So what are the best ways, besides I gave away part of it with the pedalpower.org by accident, but what are the very best ways to actually get a hold of you and get service?
So if you want to, the first way would be to head down to the shop. So 2429 Main Street. We're open 7 days a week from 11 to 6. If you had some specific questions, you could give us a call. Our number is 604-879-2453. And then you can also look us up online, which is, our website is pedalpower.org. So pedal like the bicycle, P-E-D-A-L, power.org.
Awesome. Perfect. And you're easy to access, nonprofit, and really cool stuff going on there. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, thank you for joining us today. And we will post your website up on our Facebook page for those who missed part of what she said as we went through it. We'll get all that information up on our Facebook and possibly our blog. And it was great talking to you today.
You too. Thanks so much for having me.
Okay. Thank you so much. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye for now. So, yeah, that was Sophia. So, what do you think? Pedal power.
That sounds
Pedal
awesome.
Society. Awesome stuff, right? Especially in this day and age with having the, you know, climate evolution and things like that, where we need to cut back on how much gas we're using.
And so much better than using gas.
Yeah, I'm a gas burner. But, hey, I got to get from here to from here to White Rock and back, right? So
yeah.
It's like not a lot I can do about that because of pedaling. Well,
and do you get your exercise in?
Yeah.
And you get fit.
Keep it. Yeah, exactly, right?
So much better. So much better. You kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
Get some exercise, save the planet.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah.
And they also serve you if you have an accessible or like a wheelchair type of bicycle, they can help you maintain it.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that is pretty good.
I bet it's expensive otherwise.
I would think that some of those more specialized bikes like that, it would be very expensive to service. So,
yeah.
You know, I've seen some pretty interesting hand designs and things like that for people who are actually in wheelchairs.
Nice. Yeah. Have you seen those bikes where you, for people who want to walk but are limited mobility, they get to hold on mm-hmm. to kind of handles, and they don't have a seat, but they can walk with this contraption, and they have wheels on the bottom.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, we should probably eventually thank Ben for bringing her on.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's actually cut to a break. So we'll be right back. And we're back. And we're here with our new co-host, Allison Klein.
Hello.
Hey. So, as I said earlier, you're not a stranger to the station.
No, I'm not. I have been at Co-op for the last 2.5 years. But I have been working kind of in the background, doing the music library.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going through some changes. So hopefully we can have a music library again.
Okay.
And it will be, now I've talked to Michael and I thought this would be a cool and new opportunity for me. So be kind of fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, be, and I've known Michael since for the last 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
She helps me turn my mic back on. Holy crap. Yeah. I had to answer the phone. It was actually Ben calling to see how the interview went. I thought it was more like 3 or 4 years you've been with us.
No. I started in 2016.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get Ben in the conversation in a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, Ben.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. So that was a really cool thing with Sophia from Pedal Society.
Yeah, because she was the she's the executive director. She's only doing it for about, she did it for about a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And I actually am one of the volunteers there, and we have people coming in left, right, and center, helping them fixing their bikes. Getting donations coming in,
mm-hmm.
which is fantastic. because if you go to the other like bike shops, they're more expensive. Like purchasing their bikes and chains and everything else. And we have like a price rate right on our board when you first walk into our shop.
Nice.
So we have orientations first Sunday of every month, I believe. I don't know if Sophia mentioned that. Our first one is, I think, believe is tonight.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So why don't you get that on our Facebook page also, that people can check that out for orientation, learning how to fix their bikes. So
yeah. Or they can actually contact me directly if they need to, because I can give them my cell number. They can give me directly call directly if they like.
Yeah, go ahead and give them that.
Okay, air code 236-808-7785. Once again, air code 236-808-7785. I've only been there for like a few months, and I've been loving it and helping with the customers, you know, with their bikes, and if they have any questions, I can try my best to answer them, but we have qualified for bikes and everything else there. So
She's talked about the mechanics and all that kind of stuff, and that was one thing that I guess a lot of people don't realize, that there's a lot of mechanics involved in fixing a bike. So we wanted to thank you for having her come on with us. So
anytime, buddy, anytime.
Yeah. So,
did she, by chance, did she mention the the hours are?
Yeah, she did.
Okay,
she
did,
and she gave location and everything.
She mentioned everything. Okay, good.
Yeah. So
awesome.
So it was pretty cool. So we'll try our best to get some folks out that way, right? So yeah.
Okay. I'll let you go, but I just want to touch base with you and our listeners, and
thank you so much
for listening.
And welcome, Allison. This is her debut
Ben.
Show.
Hey, how are you?
Yeah.
Good about you?
Yeah.
I'm good.
So, yeah. So, because we'll have Allison with us a lot more often Kelly's absence. So Kelly's getting some stuff worked out for himself, and he'll probably be back in later on. But
okay.
But meanwhile, we'll have Allison with us.
Hi.
You're awesome, Allison. Welcome aboard.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll talk to you later, Ben.
So give Allison my number as well, so we can communicate after the show.
Okay. All right.
Thanks, buddy. Have a good show.
Bye for now.
Bye bye.
So yeah, that's Ben. Also check everybody's. It's Brent Dupree. He has a production company. He does a lot of music stuff too. So
nice.
He helps introduce a lot of open mics in the area. So yeah,
wow,
which is pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So. Yeah, because you've been for a long time doing like a lot of the behind the scenes stuff, and here's the thing, right? Is what people don't know is that behind the scenes stuff, if it didn't happen, I wouldn't be talking right now. So that's the really cool part.
Yeah,
you know? It's like a lot of the advertising and stuff like that. You make sure that when I push a button, it's there.
There.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
It was all because of a volunteer that I met, and he said he does a show called the Anthology of Jewish Music on Co-op Radio. And I met him through the Jewish Community Center in the library.
Yeah, that's right. You do have your Star of David around your neck.
And so he said that he was getting sick and tired of doing the music library. Uh-huh. And they were looking for a new music person to digitize the music.
Well, that took up, like, that's why I thought you were with us a lot longer, because that took up the better part of a year, almost 2 years, for you to digitize all the music. All of
it, yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, I'm actually going to do this, because while you're here, right? Okay, Allison volunteered to do that, but the system that she worked on, it actually costs us quite the station itself, it costs us quite a chunk of money to have the whole Media Monkey system, right?
Yeah.
So, for those of you who are members out there, and we hope that most of you listening to us right now are actually members, because this is part of what your money goes to, because it's those kind of systems that...
They're not cheap.
They're not cheap, and without that system, like the PSA that I played earlier at the break... That wouldn't, if it wasn't for Media Monkey, it wouldn't
work.
Yeah, it wouldn't work.
And we wouldn't function. Right. Without. Yeah.
So I'm gonna ask everybody to make sure that as you're listening to us and everything, please go to coopradio.org, COOOP. Did I put too many O's in there? It's COOPradio.org. And find the big donate button, and please get to the station. I know in the past week we've been doing like a big membership drive and things like that, but I'm going to get another couple pitches in there as we're ending all that, because it's really important.
Yeah.
It's like, while we're all volunteers, the systems that we use cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it's an ongoing... Because Media Monkey, not only did it cost a lot to purchase, but it's a subscription that has to keep being paid every month.
Yeah. So it's a niche market to have one of these things out there, so they can set the prices. Mm-hmm. So very expensive.
Yeah, very expensive, but also very needed, because we, for those people who use us to help get the word out about events, charities, and all these things, that we actually need that stuff to be in place in order for me to push button, and it sends a message to you guys who are listening. So, with that being said, there's like a lot of stuff that you actually get involved with our community.
Yeah, I do. Well, I help with the Special Olympics coaching basketball, and which is kind of funny because I am 5'3".
Hey, oh, wait a second. Let's see.
All of 5'3".
6'6", 5'3". It's like we're eventually gonna do a photo series, and you'll get to see
how short I am.
How short Allison is in comparison to me being 6'4". And she coaches basketball, and there ain't no way in heck I can actually even play the damn game. I suck, and she's awesome.
That's really funny. I am the shortest coach by at least 7 inches. And all of the athletes are about the same height as me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, especially.
So here I am. Especially last year at the last season at the last practice, it was coaches versus athletes. Mm-hmm. And here I am going down here, I'm down here, pass the ball.
Yeah.
And all of the athletes would be swarming around me.
Well, you're actually quite the athlete, because not only you also do softball, basketball, softball.
I don't do softball. I do.
Well, you did softball.
I bowl. I go bowling.
Yeah.
So At least I know how to do some sports.
Well, it's like bowling. That's an athletic ability. Yeah, we're going to throw an 8-pound ball down there. How long is the damn alley?
12 feet or yeah. So. I do 5-pin bowling, so Canadian. Very Canadian.
Forgot about the Canadian version of that. You've said a couple times you've gone 10-pin.
I've gone 10-pin. I used to coach 10-pin and 5-pin.
Yeah.
But I've scaled back on my coaching.
Yeah.
But I still coach basketball.
Yeah. Well, basketball, so you're more passionate about basketball.
Yeah.
So.
And.
Yeah, because there's other community things that you've actually volunteered with, and, because you're also, a librarian.
I'm a library technician.
Yeah.
But, so I have
There is a little
fruit fly
gnat sort of thing, and it's harassing both of us. Maybe there's more than one. Is there more than one?
I don't know.
But, yeah. It keeps trying to fly into
my mouth.
Yeah. Then it leaves her and it starts chasing after me. It's like, so we're trying to dodge this fruit fly in here.
So I'm a trained library technician.
Right.
And.
Well, they trained you, but you have a bachelor's science in.
I have a bachelor's in history. Canadian history.
Oh, I thought it was in library stuff. But, yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, I should listen to you more often.
Yeah. So, when I was first graduating with my bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
I was trying to look for work.
Oh, that's always an interesting process.
And a lot of the places were like, oh, you don't have experience. We need you to have experience before we give you a job. And I went, well, how am I going to get experience if you're not going to give me a job? Then I got creative and started volunteering to put on my resume. And so I started out with a whole bunch of different weird things. Ended up at the Jewish Community Center's library, and where I met Marcus, who does the anthology of Jewish music here. And then I followed him here. And then I did about a year and a half at the Autism BC Library, which at first was really good, but it kind of...
Well, it's pretty amazing that they have a library.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that they have a library.
Yeah.
It's out in Richmond.
Yeah.
It was just not a good... perfect fit anymore.
We come and go as the universe says we need us.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But now I have kind of an on-call position at the Gathering Place.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
There you go.
So, in their library.
Yeah. So as one library door opens. It closes, another one opens.
Yeah.
Cool. Creative opportunities. But who knew that some of these societies have their own library that's accessible to, in some cases, also the public or no?
It is accessible to the public. They are also a non-profit organization. Mm-hmm. It seems, though, that because they're also a non-profit, that it's sometimes hard to get new and updated new current information out there. But, you know, they try their best and being as current as possible. So I cataloged all of their books, 1,600 books.
Yeah, that was the other thing. Okay, so cataloging. And you'd be surprised at areas that that cataloging actually comes into play.
Yeah.
Because we were going to talk about you helping us catalog sound effects over at Depictions Media.
Right.
Yeah. Because well, one of our we do a lot of soundtracks, right? And we need the sound effects catalog, or else we keep searching and rebuying the same things over and over again when we already have them downloaded. But if you're cataloged, right?
Yeah.
Cataloging is an important skill.
Yeah. Just kind of...
Yeah, all that from a history degree. Wow.
Yeah, history. Canadian history.
Yeah, sprinkled with a little creativity.
Yeah. I got it all from my library technician diploma. 2 years of that at Langara.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. When I talk to people about cataloging and I go into the nitty gritty, people just give me the glared look. Like, you lost me.
Yeah, that happens. I had a job once that if I were to tell you the details of that high tech job, you would just gloss over and like, just. Okay, I'm just going to say the name of the type of instrumentation I used to run. Inductively coupled plasma mass spectrometer.
What's that?
Exactly. We're going to go to a break. Hold on. And we're back. You're listening to us here on CFRO 100.5 FM, or you could be listening to one of the pre-recorded versions of this on CITR, which is
101.9 FM,
or in the NIMO, which is CHLY, or our podcast version on
iTunes,
iHeart, and the Spreaker app.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're trying to get ourselves really out there. Turns into like a really cool community listening product. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that is the voice of Allison Klein.
Hello.
Our new co-host.
Hi.
And she's joining us. Essentially, she started out behind the scenes, as you heard in earlier segments. Just cataloging our music and making it so that like the PSAs that you just heard actually work when I push the go button, and it's a really important job around here. So and at times she's actually, and she may have taken some of their donations too, because you've done some of that, haven't you?
No,
I've only done
music.
You never answered the phones for the donations?
No.
Oh. But anyway, with that being said, though, that's another plug for if you're actually listening to us and you like what we're doing and you like what we're going to be doing with Allison and future guests, that you should actually donate to the station. Go on cooperadio.org and push the big donate button for us, please. Anyway, yeah. So, for that matter, if you're listening to us on CITR or on CHLY in Nanaimo, that you should also probably push the big donate button there too.
Yeah,
it's like we do a lot of good for people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
What was I going to ask you? Oh crap!
What's my favorite chocolate?
Yeah, what is your favorite chocolate?
Milk.
Okay, so One of the things that actually inspired me to bring Allison on air with us while Kelly is taking a slight hiatus is because she's a character. I would walk through the door and then run smack into one of your pranks.
One of my favorite pranks is to grab hand cream, sneak up behind someone, and go, chew, and then go up to the person and rub the hand cream on the person's cheek.
It's like, it's the first time you did it, I was like, ew. I didn't try it with hand cream. if you hear us giggling more than usual, it's probably because Allison has pulled another one of her all famous pranks. So,
and then I give those big dog eyes after.
Yeah, I know, right? It's like,
yeah, I'm a character.
Yeah, she's a character. So, one day we'll
bring me.
We don't know what we'll do with you eventually, other than bring you on air, turn you loose on the public. So, that was what I was going to ask you. So, what is it about our community that actually inspired you to get involved with radio to begin with?
Well, I wanted to use my skills. And ever since I was a kid, I liked music. Mm-hmm. And I thought, why don't I use my skills and what I like and do something with it, right?
Well, she likes to talk a lot.
And I like to talk a lot. I'm a yapper.
Mm-hmm.
My other nickname is Chatty Cathy.
Yeah.
It's great. So because of that, and I needed something on my resume, I thought, why not be creative and come here and follow what Marcus said to me?
Well, how has it helped your resume?
People are saying, well, how many people are doing the music at Co-op Radio? And I say, it's me. And they go, wow, that's amazing. Like, you can actually do all of this stuff and do something.
Yeah. Because when you consider how many shows that there actually are to actually use the system.
Yeah.
That,
It's pretty extensive.
And has it been made available to us while we're here in the station, but some of that is actually, that library is available to us as members online that we can actually download in, because there's actually a number of shows out there that are pre-recorded and then emailed in.
Yeah.
So that's, and we all use the same library.
Yeah, which is pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of something that kind of accidentally fell in my lap, and I ran with it.
Yeah. Okay, so library technician, Canadian history major, and...
Now I'm in my master's program.
Oh, I didn't know you were in your master's program.
Yeah, I started in June. So I'm...
Can you ever sit still?
No, I can never sit still.
So, anyway, okay. So let's bring this back to the disability thing, right? Because you actually have a... a learning disability.
Yeah.
Which is...
Developmental dyspraxia.
Okay, that's a big word. What does all that mean?
What does that mean? Excuse me. Dyspraxia is a developmental thing. It's a cousin to autism. It means that when I was younger, I was delayed in my development. It also means that, but my parents could never shut me up. It was great. I was one of those feisty little kids. Then in school, I was, because of I was delayed early on in life, I was delayed a little in school. I couldn't hold on to the information auditorily. I couldn't memorize anything because my short-term memory is out the window. And I also have fine motor skills issues, so I can't write. I can't write things down as well. I'm really slow at it. So writing notes in class is like, forget about it. So school was a toughie. When I got to university, because of all of these, the two things, the written output and the auditory processing issues, I had a scribe, and that really helped. She wrote down all of my notes, but I wrote all of my own papers, I wrote all of my own tests. It still affects my written output. All I do is type. I like typing. So much easier than writing. Yay, technology. Typing. Yay, new technology.
Well, that is something that because I went through school about probably 20 I'm not going to say 30 years, but it's probably really is 30 years before she did. I was dyslexic before they actually called it dyslexia.
Yeah.
They just said that you were stupid. But that's not the story.
A couple of teachers had called me stupid, too.
Yeah.
Proved them wrong.
Yes. But the thing is I remember in university, yes, I went to university right after high school, even though they called me stupid. But I remember, like, the word processors starting to be developed and things like that.
Yeah.
And keyboarding being a viable way of taking notes.
Yeah, it's been really good. And I was one of the first kids to bring a laptop into my high school, and one of the first kids to try out online courses through the Vancouver School Board. So, and that was a really good thing for me. So now that I'm in my master's, I'm doing it through Athabasca, and it's all online, so I don't have to worry about note-taking, and I don't have to worry about my exams because it's all paper-based. It's all paper-based. Mm-hmm. I only have to write papers. Yes, I only have to write papers.
Right.
And I don't have to worry about physically handwriting my papers because I type it and
email it.
Yeah. Technology. I love technology.
Yay, technology. Yay.
Technology is so much better now. Mm-hmm. And when I was going through my diploma program, a lot of my instructors had online notes for their lecture notes. So I'd walk in, sit down, listen to the class, and get my online lecture notes afterwards.
Yeah, because I went to engineering school.
Yeah.
Wow, imagine that. Dyslexia? Told I was stupid, but wound up in engineering. Wow.
Some people.
Yeah, I know, right? And now that I've retired from engineering, I'm broadcasting. Wow, imagine that.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's amazing what happens when at home you're told you can do this.
Yeah.
Because I know your parents are very supportive, right?
Yeah. My parents ignored my kindergarten teacher. My kindergarten teacher said that she was worried that I wouldn't read or I'd be illiterate my whole life. Mm-hmm. I turned out to be a library technician.
Yeah.
Oops.
Wait, bachelor's degree in Canadian history. Doesn't that entail reading?
Yeah.
Go figure. It's like, worried you're going to be illiterate, right? Actually, your dad is an extremely intelligent. He's
a lawyer,
human rights lawyer, isn't he?
Yeah. So I think I got some of his genes, you know. Dyspraxia.
That's what it is. One day it'll sink into my head.
It's a hard thing to. Yeah. But two famous people who have dyspraxia are Daniel Radcliffe from Harry Potter and Florence and the Machine.
Oh, yeah, I remember Florence and Machine.
Yeah.
I left straight to Florence and Machine and forgot about Harry Potter.
Yeah.
No, Harry Potter's cool, though.
Cool guy, yeah.
Yeah, no, both very cool guys, very creative people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool, so, there you go. Zeke.
And Albert Einstein had dyslexia.
Albert Einstein had dyslexia, and he was actually on the autism spectrum disorder.
So, look where he got people, right?
I know, right?
There you go.
Exactly.
As I'm doing the sassy diva dance.
Exactly. So, it can be done.
Yeah, it can be done.
Put your mind to it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's about it for today, because we only got like a few seconds left. Yeah. Oh. Hey, before I forget this, though, hopefully... A few of you guys made it out to the Surrey Hospice dove release this morning. I heard it's an extremely beautiful ceremony, and Surrey Hospice does a lot of work for our community with helping people deal with grief, death, and first thing they do is they help people leave with dignity. And then they help their families actually deal with the parting of the loved one. So, yeah. So, hopefully you made it out to their dove release. It's a really cool ceremony to help people deal with their grief and allowing their loved ones pass on.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. So, yeah. Anyway, we look forward to having you guys listen to us again next week. And... We'll actually see you next week, okay? So stay tuned for wherever you're listening from to whatever the next show is that is coming up. Okay?
Perfect.
Yay.
Yay.
Bye.
Bye.